ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् नानशोचितुमर्हसि So from the 11th verse onwards till the 30th verse, these 20 verses, the main topic discussed is the nature of the Atma. Atma Swarupa Lakshanam is discussed in these verses. And Atma Swarupa Lakshanam means Atmanaha Swarupam is discussed, means nature of the Atma is discussed. When the nature of the Atma is discussed, along with the discussion of the nature of the Atma, nature of the Anatma also is discussed. How? Antavantaime Dehaha, etc. Few words. No? There also, nature of the Anatma also explained. So what does it mean? We have to know, reduce the individual into two things, as a combination of Atma and Anatma. And what is the nature of the Atma? Atma na jayate na mriyate va kadachite na ajaha nityaha sthanuhu achalaha na unmoving, immobile, immovable, na unchanging, timeless, nityaha, timeless, all pervasive. We saw all those things. So Atma is of the nature. Beginningless, endless, changeless, uncaused, causeless, timeless, eternal, all pervasive, unchanging, unmoving, immobile. Now this is the nature of the Atma, and which is of the nature of consciousness. Now Swarupatah, it is of the nature of consciousness and knowledge. And this, what about the Anatma? Anatma we saw Anatma in two different forms. This Anatma, Antavanta ime dehaha, all these bodies are subject to time. Subject to time means, are they destroyed totally? No. Because they are of the nature of undergoing changes. Constantly they undergo changes. So that's why they have beginning, they have birth, and they have an end. In between birth and death also they undergo many other changes. That is the nature of the gross body. And one day at least it has to get disintegrated. This is what generally we understood in all these verses. Why do we need to discuss about nature of the Atma separately, Anatma separately, so that we understand the Atma as Atma, understand Anatma as Anatma, understand the nature of the Anatma. Then once you know its nature means what? Swarupam, Swabhava means what? It cannot be changed. And what is the nature? This is the nature of the Atma means Atmanaha Swarupam cannot be changed. And Anatmanaha Swarupam also cannot be changed. Nature of the Atma cannot be changed. Nature of the Anatma also cannot be changed. They both are of two different natures. And we have to understand the Atma's nature as Atmanaha Swarupam, Anatma's nature, Anatma's nature, so that we won't mistake the Anatma for Atma. We won't superimpose the nature of the Anatma upon the Atma. If we know clearly what is Atma and what Atma Swarupam, well, if we don't mistake it, we look at both as it is, and then we are free from limitations. Then all the problems are solved. The only thing is, that is why the error has to be corrected. We will not superimpose the nature of the Anatma upon the Atma. That is why we need to know separately what is Atma. In fact, Atma and Anatma are not two different things at all. They are two orders of the only reality. But they are of two different natures. One undergoes change, one doesn't undergo change. One is of the nature of changelessness, one is of the nature of constantly changing. Understand? This is why understanding is important. Therefore, Atmanaha Swarupam is discussed mainly. Along with that, Anatmanaha nature also is presented. And okay, this Thula Shariram is of this nature. But what about the Sukshma Shariram? That Sukshma Shariram cannot be destroyed. Understand? So, Atma cannot be destroyed at all. Understand? And Anatma also cannot be destroyed. But Anatma form can undergo changes. But subtle body, even Anatma, subtle body also has longer span of life than the gross body. That is why it continues to live in different other gross bodies. That is why we saw na jayate na mriyate kadachit. We saw that, but still we said dehi nosmin yatha dehe yatha de asmin dehe. No, that all the changes are possible. It is possible for the jiva to live in one body and go through these different stages of the physical body. Similarly, it is very natural for the jiva to leave this body and assume another body also. And vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya anyani navani grinnati. Just as the man, you know, leaves aside the old worn out clothes and takes to the new ones. Similarly, it is very natural for the sukshma to leave aside the gross and then assume the new ones. This how the subtle body continues to exist. Gross body gets disintegrated. This is the nature of the subtle body, which is nature of the gross body. This is the nature of the Atma. Of the Anatma, gross body existed before it was born. Gross body is born and after the birth it grows. It undergoes changes, metamorphosis, then it stops growing, then it starts decaying, at last it gets disintegrated, it perishes. Okay, this gross body undergoing a total change is called what? Death. Total change, but not the destruction. And this is Anatma. Of the Anatma, what about the subtle body? Subtle body continues to exist. Isn't thy? And because it is subtle in nature, nothing gross can destroy the subtle body. And what about the Atma? Atma is the in subtlest reality. Nothing can bring out any change whatsoever on the part of the Atma. Why? Because avikriyatvat anashitvam. Okay, remember this. Avikriyatvata anashitvam atmanaha. Atma is of the nature of changelessness, actionlessness. Therefore, Atma is not subject to any destruction at all. There is neither relative destruction nor total destruction on the part of the Atma. There is relative destruction in the form of the change and the part of the Anatma. It is the gross body and subtle body continues to exist. Subtle body also does not die at all. And in Bhagavad Gita, what is not mentioned here is the Karna Shariram is not discussed in this top here. Why we don't need to worry about the Karna Shariram? We were expected to understand that something cannot come into being out of nothing, from nothing. Definitely, there must have been a cause, okay? There must have been a cause even before the subtle body evolved, gross body came into being. And definitely, we know this gross bodies exist in the form of even in mother's womb before it was born. That much is enough to know it existed before. And it is born. And it grows. And it undergoes big changes. Then it starts decaying. Then it perishes. It gets disintegrated. That is the nature of the Anatma. And what about the subtle body? The mind keeps on changing. The moods change. The subtle change takes place often. We are not the same always. Understand? Subtle body also undergoes in its own way, but it doesn't die. It continues longer span. Subtle body continues to live until the moksha takes place. If there is any dissolution or deluge, subtle body also will perish, disintegrated. Otherwise, it continues to exist. That is the nature of the subtle body, of the anatma. That is the nature of the gross body. And atma is just the pure knowledge. So that understand discriminatively what is the nature of the atma, what is the nature of the anatma, then don't mistake one for the other. Mistake the anatma for the atma, and don't mistake the anatmanaha swarupam, nature of the anatma for the atmanaha swarupam, and don't get confused and don't be free from all the problems caused by this mistake. Okay, that is what is Krishna is trying to teach Arjuna here. Okay, and this understanding alone will free you from, because he asked in the beginning, what is the question he asked? Shadhi, mom, hey Krishna, please protect me. Mom, and who am I? I have totally surrendered to you. Prapannam mam shadhi. Okay, yat shosha uchoshanam indriyanam, yat shokam indriyanam uchoshanam. Okay, my sorrow dries up all my senses. Then ekam nishchityavada, please tell me only that. Okay, which will free me from all my problems, which will free me from all my sorrows. That's the question he asked. And what is the answer Krishna gives? Ashochananvashochastvam sartali. Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahat. All these things. Why do you want to refuse to, why do you refuse to fight now? Why do you refuse to do your duty here? Who you are not going to kill anybody, and nobody is going to be killed by you. You are going to be killed, nor are you going to kill anybody. Okay, who is killed? What is killing? Who is the killer? Who is the destroyer? What is being killed here? What is the act of killing? What do you know? What you are talking? Do your duty here. Okay, this is the nature of the anatma. This is the nature of the atma. Really speaking, where is the killer? Okay, who is the destroyer? Where is the action? What is really I? I, the meaning of the word I is pure knowledge, the atma, the consciousness. And this is the nature of the atma, the consciousness. How can you say I, the atma, I, the self, am the consciousness? Kill, can you say that? If you really understand, you cannot say that. Own up anything. But here, you have to do your duty. Doing a duty will help you to live in tune with the harmony, in tune, harmony with the order, in tune with the order. That is how you can be peaceful, you can contribute for the peace of the others also. Others' peace also. There's no way of being peaceful without, okay, without living in harmony with the order. I tell you, the real absolute peace for one is possible only if one's life is in harmony with the universal law and order, for which one has to be doing what one has to do in conformity with dharma. So doing actions will not, prevent one from being happy. Or non-performance of actions also will not help one to be happy. Performance of actions, non-performance of actions will not really make one happy. Performance of actions, now, if you happen to be one's own duties, it helps one to be in tune with the order. That's how one can be peaceful. Non-performance of the wrong actions will help one to be in tune with the order. Otherwise, it is the lack of understanding which is the source of all problems. It is a mistake, it is erroneous self-perception. The problem lies elsewhere. We seek solution by can I be happy if I don't do my duties? Can I be happy if I do this? By doing, I want to be happy. By not doing also, I want to be happy. Really speaking, to be happy, you don't need to do anything. You do not remain without doing anything also. To be happy, you have to change your the perception. You have to correct your perception. That's all you need. That's why Krishna is teaching. Instead of giving, he gave, okay, shadhimam dvam prapannam. Ekam nishchityavada, yat shokam uchoshanam indriyanam. No? I don't see which will free me from all the sorrow which dries up my senses. Come on, then listen to me now. Hey, this is what the nature of the atma. This is the nature of the anatma. Of the anatma, this is subtle body is of this nature. Gross body is of this nature. What? You have no say over anything. You are a combination of both this atma and anatma. You have no say over the nature of anything. Understand? Understand this and be with this. Accept the fact as a fact and behave like a mature person. Be a mature person. So, all one needs is to be mature. One needs clarity. And clarity, what? Clarity implies understanding of facts and thereby accepting the facts as facts. That is why Krishna has been talking, and we saw till his last verse was, this is a simple explanation of how the elements cannot bring any destruction, the part of the Atma. See, the subtle body being subtle, a gross thing cannot destroy the subtle. Okay? Subtlest Atma definitely cannot be destroyed by anything. In subtle body cannot be destroyed by the gross external weapons. All the elements also. That is what we saw here in the last class. And how Atma is not subject to destruction by any of the elements or the elemental products has been said in two verses very clearly. So I explained to you this. Atma is achedyaha, adahyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha, and Atma cannot be destroyed by any of the weapons, which stand for the earthen, the elemental, of elementals also. It cannot be burnt, it cannot be drowned, cannot be dried up. And why? Because Atma is beginningless, endless, changeless, eternal. Ityaha. And because of the subtleness, subtler the object, more pervasive the object will be. And because of this, Atma happens to be subtlest reality, the pure knowledge, the consciousness, it is all pervasive, sarvagataha. Because it is all pervasive, it is unmoving, it is sthanuhu. Because it is unmoving, it is achalaha, it is immobile, okay? Immovable. And then achalaha, and then sanatanaha, another word for nityaha, that free from all, it's everlasting. That is the meaning. We saw the sanatanaha. So we'll go to the next verse now.
Avyaktoyam achintyoyam. Avyaktoyam achintyoyam. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Avikaryoyam uchyate. Tasmadevam viditvainam. Tasmadevam viditvainam. Nanushochitum arhasi. Nanushochitum arhasi.
Krishna tells Arjuna, not only achedyaha, dahyaha, kledyaha, soshyaha, I am sarvanityaha, sthanahu, achalaha, sarvagataha. This is the nature of the Atma. This Atma is of this nature. Atma means here the substance or the substantive is of this nature. Really speaking, the meaning of the word I is of this nature. And not only that, avyaktaha, I explained to you last class. Avyaktaha means what? Unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? Here don't, literally it means unmanifest. Atma is imperceptible. Why Atma is imperceptible? In object of perception is perceptible. But Atma being the subject of perception, subject of knowledge, cannot be perceptible. The perceptible is the percepted. The perceiver cannot be the perceptible. Understand? That's why. So, avyaktaha. Thereafter, achintyaha. I think I made it very clear, avyaktaha, isn't it? Because literally, avyaktaha means unmanifest. From the dhatu is what? Vyajjadatuhu. Okay, vyajjate means manifests. Vyakta means what? Manifest, manifested. Okay, vyakta. Avyakta means unmanifest. But here, we shouldn't take this unmanifest, we should take it as imperceptible. Why it is imperceptible? Unobjectifiable. Why it is unobjectifiable? It is not an object. Atma is not an object. Atma is not available for objectification. Why? Because it is the very subject. Atma is the very subject. Therefore, the subject of perception cannot be an object of perception. Therefore, it is imperceptible. Then, achintyaha. Achintyaha means what? Because just now we said it's avyaktaha. Atma is never an object of perception. Atma is always subject. The perceiver cannot be the perceived. Therefore, it is imperceptible when I said. And achintyaha also. But not imperceptible, not only Atma is not available for sense perception, it is not available even for thought perception. Atma being not available for thought perception is said to be achintyaha. People say imponderable, inconceivable, all these words we can use. Now, again, it is difficult. Because you can never imagine or visualize or how, you can't think how it looks. You can't conceive how it looks. Why? Because Atma is never an object. Something is an object in a subtle form, it is available for thought perception. If an object is grass, if a thing is an object, a grass object is available for perception, sense perception. But Atma being not an object at all, being a very subject, it is avyaktaha. Therefore, it's also what? Achintyaha. Okay, now I say, look at this now. Sweetness. Chintya. You can imagine, if you really don't taste the sweetness now, but you can understand what is sweetness. Bitter. You can understand it. Okay, backache, back pain. You know what it is. Understand? Feeling sleepy. All of you know very well. It's chintya. Feeling sleepy, being sleepy. No? It's all chintya. Not chintya. Okay. It's all chintya, not achintya. Consciousness. Not consciousness. No, achintya. Any chintanam takes place in which? That is Atma. Any thinking, any knowing, any perception, any cognition, any understanding takes place because of which, that is consciousness. Okay? Therefore, which is available for understanding only as the cognizer, perceiver, knower, experiencer, that consciousness is what? Achintyaha. And then, I am avikaryaha uchyate. I am avikaryaha uchyate. Not only because Atma is the subject, not an object. Atma is avyaktaha. Atma is achintyaha also. Atma is what? Avikaryaha. Avikaryaha means, we already saw, avikriyatvam, changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Therefore, avikaryaha, unmodifiable, unchangeable. Okay, nothing can bring about any change whatsoever on the part of the Atma. So, avikaryaha, not subject to any modification or change. Then, tasmat, this is, Atma is of this nature. Come on, you say, I cannot go and kill Drona, I cannot go and just kill Bhishma, I cannot fight against these people, how can I fight against my teachers, how can I do this, what will happen to my people, okay? What are you thinking of, talking about? What are you first? What are you talking about, okay? What is the I here? Don't try to escape from doing your duties. Okay? Tasma, this Atma is of this nature. This is the substance, which is the meaning of the word I, and the substance of the substantive, the meaning of the word I, is of this nature, therefore, knowing thus. Okay? He says here, viditva, enam viditva, tasmati evam viditva enam. Knowing yourself, enam means this atmanam, enam atmanam, knowing this self, the meaning of the word I, to be of this nature, to be of such nature, viditva, anushochitum na arhasi, you can't afford to grieve anymore. He says, anushochitum, you cannot continue to grieve anymore, anushochitum na arhasi, you don't deserve any grief anymore. You cannot grieve anymore. Understand? If you continue to grieve, you are still confused. You can't afford to be confused anymore. By now you must have got some clarity. Grieving, shochanam, in the very beginning he said, panditaha na anushochanti. Whoever anushochati, he is not a panditaha. Understand? An ajnani alone, ajnani can grieve. A panditaha cannot grieve. Panditaha na anushochanti. You were not a pandita, but now I've been teaching from the 11th verse, all these verses. Now you know, you can't say you're not it, you're not understood anything. Therefore, really speaking, from this standpoint of the nature of the reality, the self, from this standpoint of the nature of the anatma, if you understand the nature of the atma and anatma to be such, what is there for you to grieve? Understand? Therefore, anushochitum na arhasi katam viditva. Arhasi literally means you deserve. Okay? You deserve to grieve. You don't deserve to grieve. You need not grieve. You do not deserve any grief, really speaking. Okay? You don't need to grieve. That's the meaning. You don't deserve to grieve. Okay, that's the meaning. Now he says, okay, let's read the Bhashyam. Avyaktoyam iti sarvakarana avishayatvat na vyajyate iti avyaktah ayam atma. See, beautifully he explained, Shankaracharya. Ayam atma avyaktah. This self is not imperceptible, unmanifest. Why it is imperceptible? He says, sarva karana avishayatvat. So, okay, sarva karana means, sarva means all. Every. Karana means of knowledge. Avishayatvam means what? Because Atma is not an object of perception. Understand? Atma is not available as an object of knowledge. Sarva karana avishayatvat. Atma is not an object available for perception through any of the sense organs. Therefore, Atma is what? Imperceptible. Simple thing. Atahayeva. Therefore, because it is imperceptible, he says, achintyaha ayam. When you say atma is not an object available for perception to any of the senses, it is avyaktaha. Therefore, it is also what? Achintyaha. It is available for thought perception also. I said one thing extra more, which is available for recognition only as the very subject. Therefore, yathi indriya gocharaha tat chintavishayatvam apadyate. See, indriya gocharaha means what? Anything which is available for knowledge through senses. Indriya gochara means what? Knowable through senses is indriya gochara. Anything which is knowable through senses is indriya gocharaha. Then it is available for understanding through thought also. It is available for thought perception also. Anything which is imperceptible through senses is not available for thought perception also. Chinta avishayatvam apadyate. Chinta avishayatvam apadyate. Ayantu atma. And whereas this self, what is it a self now? Anindriya gocharatvat. See, atma does not have indriya gocharatvam. Okay, Indriya Gochata knowable through enjoying the status of being an object perceivable through the senses is said to be what? The object enjoying Indriya Gocharatvam. But Atma, Anindriya Gocharatvam. Atma does not have the Indriya Gocharatvam. It is not perceptible through senses. Therefore, Atma enjoys what? Atma is Anindriya Gocharam. Due to its nature of being the Anindriya Gocharam, it is not perceptible through senses. Achintyaha. Shankara again he explains, it's also not available for thought perception. Then, Abhikaryaha Ayam. It's not object to any change. I think I finished this. Yatha. I read this last time, isn't it? Look at this. Kshiram. Dadhyatanchanadina. Vikari. Dadhi atanchanadina. Atanchanam. When you, the fermenting and all that, when you add yogurt to the milk becomes, milk undergoes a change. Okay, that sort of change is not possible on the part of the Atma. Therefore, Atma is what? Avikaryaha, unmodifiable, unchangeable. Why changelessness is its nature? Already we have seen. Niravayavatvatcha. Avikriyaha. See, Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Therefore, it cannot be change. Nothing can bring any change on the part of the Atma. Like how the milk, addition of yogurt can change the nature of the milk. Milk can undergo change. Nothing can bring about any change on the part of the Atma. Then not only that, Atma is one indivisible partless whole. Anything which has many avayavas, limbs, anything which has savayavatvam can be divided into many parts. Atma being niravayavam, niravayavaha, because of its partlessness, it cannot be modified, it cannot be changed. Nahi niravayavam kinchit vikriyatmakam drishtam. See, we saw the another one, the partless whole, no anything which doesn't have many parts is not changeable. For example, space is here. Space is one indivisible partless whole, we say. It cannot be divided. Why? Space has no many parts. Anything which has many parts can be divided, can be changed, can be subject to any modification or change. Like space also is what? Partless one. Understand? Therefore, no change can be brought out on the part of this space. Similarly, Atma also is niravayavaha. Limbless, partless, indivisible. Therefore, no change can be brought about on the part of the Atma. Then, don't think, Saul, we are simply understanding already we are grinding the already ground. It's all assimilation. Avikriyatvat. Avikaryaha. Ayam Atma Uchyate. So, Ayam Atma Avikarya Uchyate Avikriyatvate. Due to its nature of changelessness, Atma is said to be unchangeable, unmodifiable. Tasmat Evam. Yathokta Prakarena. So, Tasmat, therefore, he says Evam in this manner. Which manner? Yatha ukta prakarena, as unfolded in these verses, yenam atmanam viditva, knowing the atma to be of this nature, tvam na anushochitum arhasi, you don't need to grieve. Tvam anushochitum na arhasi, you don't need to grieve. You don't deserve to grieve. Why? Hanta, Aham, Yesham, I am the destroyer of all these people, I am the killer of all these people, Maya, Yete, Hanyante, all the people are going to be killed by me. Okay, thinking like that, you don't need to grieve anymore. Okay, Aham, Hanta, Yete, Sham, Yete, Maya, Hanyante, all these people are going to be killed by me, I am the destroyer of all these people, thinking you can grieve. But now you don't need to grieve thinking like this. Why? You have to change your thinking. Why? You know, Atma is not the destroyer. Now the Anatma is destroyable. Neither Atma is the destroyer. See, Atma is not. Atma is indestructible. Anatma also is indestructible. Okay? But what is one thing is clear? Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Anatma is of the nature of undergoing changes. One anatma can bring about the change in the part of anatma in terms of forms and names. No total destruction. An anatma which exists depending upon the atma cannot destroy anatma at all. Nor can the atma destroy anatma. Why? Because anatma is non-separate from the atma. So over. What is there for you to grieve now? That's what he says. Aham hanta maya ete hanyante iti. Iti, okay, iti is very important. Iti, tvam shochitum na arhasi. Okay, let us go to the next one. Atmanaha anityatvam abhyupagamya idam uchyate. Okay. Even if you think Atma, okay, to be born, okay, to be born and subject to destruction, etc., what can you do about it? What can you do about it? Do you have any say over it? Really speaking, Atma is imperishable, indestructible, everlasting, etc., that's fine. Even if you think, if you argue, okay, no, I am the body, how your body is subject to destruction, I had to identify myself with the body, I cannot say I am not the body, etc. You don't need to say, just understand it. Even if you think, what is the solution? What is the way now? Okay, so he says here, Atha chainam
nitya jatam
Nityamva manyasemrutam Atha chainam nitya jatam Nityamva manyasemrutam Tathapitvam Mahabaho Naivam Shochitum Arhasi Okay, Atha cha enam means enam atmanam Nitya jatam manyase or nityam mrutam manyase. Even if you think this atma, even if you take this atma to be born, okay, and to be something which is subject to death, even if you think atma is born and atma dies one day, okay, tathapi, even then, Hey Mahabaho, Mahabahu, Mahan Bahuhu Yasya, Saha Mahabahu, big shoulders, okay? The man of beautiful shoulders called, Mahabahuhu, Ajanu Bahuhu. We have another word called Ajanu Bahuhu. Janu means knee, okay? Ajanu Bahu means long hands. One's hand should come like, not while sitting, okay, when standing. Come here, he's called Ajan Bahu. Rama is always said to be very, very handsome man. Ajan Bahu Ramaha. Okay, Mahabahu. And Krishna wants to give him some pep, Always he wants to do, even if the person doesn't know. He said, hey Mahabaho, who you are, Sachana, hey Mahabaho. He had it like that. So he, hey Mahabaho, he says, Tvam Shochitum na arhasi. You do not need to grieve at all. You don't deserve to grieve at all. Even if you think, really speaking, Atma is not born, Atma does not die. There is no second reality other than the Atma. There must be two things for one thing to destroy the other thing. There is no second thing. All that is, there is only the Atma. Atma is the only reality. Other than Atma, if at all, there is something that is Anatma. And Anatma is something which is non-separate from the Atma. Another order of the same Atma. Understand? Therefore, Anatma is Mithya, Atma is Satyam. We saw that. Now, what is Satyam? We saw that Na Sato Vidyate Bhavaha, Na Bhava Vidyate Sataha. The shlokam sounds very big. Really speaking, Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Mithya, and Atma is not dependent on Anatma for its existence. Whereas Anatma has existence, Anatma has no existence independent of the Atma. Therefore, that is Anatma is Mithya. What is other than Atma, the Chaitanyam? Everything else Anatma. It is dependent on the Atma. Reality as reality, there is no second thing. The reality is only Satyam, only reality. And the second thing, what seems to be there is what? Anatma, which is Mithya. If you say there's two Satyams, one Satyam can try to destroy another Satyam. There's no Satyam. Like that, Anatma is like the ocean which is dependent on the Atma. Anatma is dependent on the Atma for its existence, like the ocean is dependent on the water for its existence. In what way can the Anatma destroy the Atma? In what way can the ocean bring any change or any modification, any harm, any destruction on the part of the water? Impossible. Its very existence is dependent on the water. And even the water cannot destroy the waves in the ocean. Similarly, Atma also cannot destroy the Anatma here. What is there is only reality in two orders. We mistake the Mithya for Satyam. That is the problem. And Mithya is of the nature of changing. And Satyam Atma is changeless. Avikriyatvam. Remember this. Avikriyatvat, na nityatvat ani avikriyatvam also. Therefore, and that is the real nature of the Atma. There is nothing, you don't need to grieve. And even if you think Atma is something born, and Atma dies one day, even if you think, you don't need to grieve. Okay, even if you don't want to accept it. Even then you don't need to grieve. Why? Because, okay, let's see that. Shochitam na arhasi. Atha chainam iti.
Atha chainam iti.
Atha cha iti. Abhyupagamartha. See, abhyupagamartha means what? Again, for further understanding, it is given here. Now, okay, abhyupagamartha, when you say, okay, even if we don't take the things as it has been presented before, even if you think otherwise, no, I think Atma is born, I think Atma is subject, Atma dies one day, I want to think that way. I don't want to accept what Shastram says. I don't want to accept Atma is not born, Atma does not die, I don't accept it. I think Atma is born, Atma dies one day. Even if you think, it's called Abhyugamata, okay? Then he says, even if you think, even then you don't need to grieve. Okay? Why? Because he's going to explain. Yenam ப்ரக்ருதம் ஆத்மானம். ப்ரக்ருதம் ஆத்மானம் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தி ஆத்மா ஹூ இஸ் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் விச் இஸ் பீங் அண்டர் டிஸ்கஷன், பீங் டிஸ்கஸ்ட் நவு, விச் இஸ் அண்டர் டிஸ்கஷன் நவு. தி ஆத்மா நித்ய ஜாதம் லோக பிரசித்யா பிரத்ய அநேக ஷரீர உற்பத்திம் ஜாதஹ இதிவா மன்யசே ததா ப்ரதீத தத்விநாஷம் நித்யம் வா. பிரதி தத்விநாஷம் விநாஷம் நித்யம் வா மன்யசே மிருதம் மிருதஹ மிருதஹ இதி ததாபி ததா அபாவேபி ததா பாவேபி சாரி ததா பாவேபி ஆத்மனி த்வம் மகாபாஹோ ந ஏவம் சோசிதும் அர்ஹசி. He says, see, loka prasidhya means what in this world? Generally, what is prasidhya? What is popularly known? Because every time body is born, in fact, at least in India, this is known very well. We definitely, even a villager knows, I'll be born again. An illiterate countryman knows, after this body subject to death, after this body, I will definitely be born again. He knows this. He knows this. He doesn't need to be highly educated or anything. And he always knows, even before I was born, I was born, I lived, I existed in some other body, in some other form. Definitely he knows that. He may not know the Atma, Anatma, Viveka. He may not know. He may be worrying, lamenting, praying, and then fighting, quarreling. He has a lot of problems in life. I don't say he's a happy person to 100%. But this fact is ingrained in all the villagers' minds also. What is that? I existed even before I was born. I lived in another body. And I died some of the time. Okay? And then again, I must have done a lot of punya papas. I don't know what all problems I did. Again, I am born here in this body and suffering now. Every Indian easily they will say, even the so-called converted Christians and Muslims also will say this. I'm really surprised to know that because of the blood there. Okay, they'll say I don't know what problem I did in my past life and I'm suffering now. This idea, where did they get it? It's been there. Okay, I'm suffering now because of my poor papam. They'll easily say this. They may not know anything. They may not know anything. Big philosophy, they don't know anything. I must have done some papam in my past life. No, I'm suffering now. Really, by Bhagavan's grace, I got something like this. This happened for me like this. See, easy in convocation, in easy day-to-day conversation, you can hear this. They know this. Because this body is born, every time the body is born and body dies, we always, every time the body is born, we can take the birth of the body to be the birth of the Atma. So here Krishna says, okay, even if you think birth of the body to be the birth of the Atma, even if you think the death of the body to be the death of the Atma, death of the Anatma to be the, even if you take the death of the Anatma body to be the death of the Atma, even if you take the birth of the Anatma body to be the birth of the Atma, even then you don't need to grieve. Understand? Don't need to grieve. Why? He says, really, even though it is not, but still you don't need to grieve. He says, janmavataha nashaha நாசவத்தஹ ஜன்ம இதி ச ஏதௌ அவஷ்யம் பாவினௌ. ஜன்மவத்தஹ மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தட் விச் ஹாஸ் பர்த் இஸ் கால்ட் ஜன்மவத். ஜன்மவத்தஹ எனிதிங் விச் ஹாஸ் பர்த் அண்ட் ஃபார் தட் born thing, nashaha, destruction, the so-called death is definite. Nashavataha, anything which has destruction, which is subject to change, okay, which has an end, anything which is perishable, is what? Definitely which has birth. Nashavataha janma. Nashavat means what? That which has janma is janmavat. Anything which has nasha is nashavat. Nashavataha sashti. Okay, nashavataha janma avashyam bhavi. Definitely there, for that which has death or end, beginning is definitely there. Anything which has a beginning, end is definitely there. Therefore, even if you mistake the birth of the anatma body, birth of the anatma body to be the birth of the atma, even if you mistake the birth, death of the anatma body to be the death of the atma, even then you don't need to worry. Why? Anything which has a beginning, definitely that has an end. Anything which has an end, it has definitely beginning. Nashavataha janma avashyam bhavi. Definite. Avashyam bhavati iti avashyam bhavi. And avashyam bhavi. Now, this is, you know, this is something which is changes definitely happening. See clear now? Avashyam bhavin, bhavin, bhavin means what? Definitely it will happen. Avashyam bhavati iti avashya bhavi. Is it okay? And that further he explains in the following verse. Look at this. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. Dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. Dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. Tasmada parihariyethe. Tasmada parihariyethe. Natvam shochitum arhasi. Natvam shochitum arhasi. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuho. Dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. Dhruvam janma mrutasya cha. Tasmada parihariyethe. Tasmada parihariyethe. Natvam shochitum arhasi. Natvam shochitum arhasi. See, Tvam Shochitum Arhasi. See, Shochitum, no, this infinity to grieve, Na Arhasi. Arhasi means what? You deserve. Na Arhasi, you do not deserve. You do not deserve grief, you do not deserve to grieve, you do not need to grieve. If you grieve, that means what? You really, you are immature. The mature person cannot grieve. Immature person cannot help grieving. Okay? Immature grieves. One who does not know the facts can be immature. One who knows the facts cannot be immature. Understand? So the person of clarity, he can't afford to be immature. His immature person cannot grieve. The immature person doesn't understand, who doesn't have clarity, can grieve. So you don't need to grieve here. Tum shochitum na arhasi. Why? Even if you think, okay, you are grieving over the death of the body, death, birth of the body. Even if you think, okay, don't talk about reality at all. You just take, okay, this body is atma. You think, and body, no, body is atma, and body is, therefore body has birth, and you think when body is born, you think atma is born. When the body dies, you think atma dies. Even if you think that way, Anything which has a beginning has definitely an end. Okay? Janmavataha nashaha. Nashavataha janma. Avashyam bhavino. Definitely there. That is, Shankara says in his Bhashyam, and Krishna follows in his other shlokaha, jatasya mrityuhu dhruvaha. Dhruvaha means what? Definite. For the one who is born, jatasya, jataha is the one who is born. For the one who is born, mrityuhu dhruvaha. Death is definite. End is definite. Anything which has a beginning should have an end. Anything which has a birth should have death. Mrityuhu dhruvaha. Similarly, mrutasya janma dhruvam. Why here? Janma is a neuter gender word. Therefore, dhruvam. Mrityuhu is a masculine gender word. Therefore, dhruvaha. Dhruvaha and dhruvam both mean the same. Dhruvaha, dhruvam, dhruva means definite. But janma is a neuter gender word. Therefore, janma dhruvam. Birth is definite. For whom? For the one who is born. For the one who is dead. Okay? Mrutasya janma dhruvam. Jatasya mrityuhu dhruvaha. For the one who is born, death is definite. People think, oh, we know all these things. What is there for to know? Then you feel bored with this. Repetition. We know all these things definitely. I tell you, there's a purpose what Krishna is talking here. Okay? And such people who think that way and who find it difficult to sit, and they are known as Brihaspatayaha. Okay? In India, they'll say we call them Brihaspatis. Brihaspati means not one who thinks he knows, one who knows everything already, and we feel very bored with the repetition. They think we call them Brihaspatis. I hope that we don't have any Brihaspatis here. Okay. Tasmat aparihariye arthe. And this is a definite. Okay, this is how things are in the universe. You don't need big philosophy, knowledge of big philosophy or anything. Anything which has a beginning has an end. Anything which has an end, definitely it is available in different form. Okay, born dies and a dead one definitely is born again. And here, tasmat is aparihariyaha. Pariharaha means what? Alternative. Okay? And pariharya means what? Alterable. And aparihara means what? Unalterable. Okay? It is unalterable fact. Aparihariye arthe, shochitum tvam na arhasi. If you grieve over something which cannot be changed at all, which cannot be altered at all, that means what? It's like a hattam, no? It's called hattam. The child cries, I want only this balloon. Hey, this balloon is broken. You cannot get it. You can try to get another balloon. No, I want only this. I want only this. That's called hattam. Hattam is what? Totally, in total immaturity. And then we try to pass away for some time, and then we have to give big. Okay? Yeah. And Bhagavan also will be very, very upset, okay? Bhagavan will give big blessings. So, therefore, aparihare arthe. But as long as you are young, and then will be very, very soft, try to make you understand, pitting you, pampering you, they will make you understand parents. When 3 and 4, you can, okay, this balloon is okay, and then this is broken. You know, this will break, they'll talk like you. And 25-year-old, do the same thing, and put you on sedatives, and put you to sleep. Okay. Shochitum na arhasi. Why? Because you don't deserve any grief. Don't need to grieve. It's aparihariyaha, arthaha. Understand? Aparihariye arthe, aparihariye arthe, shochitum na arhasi. Jatasya janma, understand? Mrityuhu dhruvaha, mrityasya janma dhruvam. I don't need to give a simple, different language, very simple language Krishna uses. Okay, jatasya iti.
Jatasya iti.
Jatasya hi.
Jatasya hi.
Labdha Janmanaha.
Labdha Janmanaha.
See, Jatasya means Labdha Janmanaha. Labdham Janma Yena. Saha Labdha Janmaha. Tasya Labdha Janmanaha. Okay, for the one who is born, for the one who has birth, Dhruvaha.
Dhruvaha.
Dhruvaha means what? Avyabhichari.
Avyabhichari.
Mrityuhu.
Mrityuhu.
See, Vyabhichari means what? Changeable. Okay? Abhicharaha means changing. Avyabhichari mrityuhu. Unchangeable, unavoidable, unalterable, inevitable. Is it what? Avyabhichari mrityuhu. Mrityuhu is meant what? Maranam.
Maranam.
See, mrityuhu is ukaranta pullinga shabdaha and maranam is akaranta napumsakalinga shabdaha. Maranam, death. Okay? Dhruvam. Janma. Mrityasyacha. Similarly, now, janma, the birth is definite for the one who is dead. Tasmat.
Tasmat
means what? Therefore. Now, tasmat means due to that reason. Tasmat karanat. Whenever therefore is said, come on. You have understood what has to be understood. Therefore, aparihariye, say aparihariyaha, say that. Aparihariyaha ayam. Aparihariyaha ayam. Janma marana lakshanaha.
Janma marana lakshanaha.
Lakshanaha artaha. Janma marana lakshanaha artaha.
Marana.
Yeah. See, Janma Marana Lakshanaha Arthaha means what? Arthaha here means this matter. What is the matter which matters you now? Okay? The Janma Marana Arthaha, Janma Marana Lakshanaha Arthaha means the matter which is matter, which matters you now, is the birth and death. Okay? And this birth and death, this matter, birth of something, and the death of something of the which has born, which is born, and the birth of, the rebirth of something which is now which died is what? This matter is aparihariyaha, unalterable, unchangeable, avyabhichari. Understand? Unchangeable.
Yasmat.
Tasmat.
Aparihariye arthe.
So due to that reason, he says, Tvam. Shochitam. Na Tvam Shochitam Arhasi. Na Tvam Shochitam Arhasi. You don't need to grieve. Janmavataha. Nashaha. Nashavataha. Janma. Iticha. Swabhavikaha. Chet. Aparihariyaha. Saha artaha. See, Shankara explains, what do we mean by aparihariyaha? Pariharaha means alteration. Okay? Aparihariyaha means, but pariharya means alterable. Apariharya means unalterable, unchangeable. Why it is inevitable, unavoidable? He says swabhavikaha. Okay? Swabhavikaha chet. Swabhavikaha means what's natural. Anything which is natural, that is the nature of the dead, being born again, appearing in other form, is the nature of the dead one, dead thing. And then being, okay, which anything which is born, definitely, slowly undergoing changes, one day will totally change, undergo change. Death is definite, swabhavikaha. Okay, swabhavaha is what? Nature. What is the nature? constantly undergoing change is the nature. Therefore, anything which is born starts undergoing changes, changing, changing, it keeps on changing, one day it changes totally. But doesn't disappear. That is the swabhava. And if that is swabhavikaha, swabhavaha is nature, swabhavikaha means natural. Natural happening. Well, because it's natural happening, whenever it's a natural, we have to understand we do not have any say over it. This is the problem with all of everything. We not simply understand the one who is born has no death, one who is dead definitely is going to be born again. Not simply like that. The whole behavior, the mindset, how the thoughts come, there's an order. How the thoughts get expressed, the self-behavior, how would he deal with it, all those things need a lot of understanding. To just to take everything as it is. When the wind blows, okay. We don't question why the wind is blowing that side. When the wind comes this side, why it is coming, blowing this side, we don't question. The leaves get, fly everywhere, we don't question. Why? Because, why the leaves are flying that side? All the dry flowers and leaves are going towards southern direction because the wind is blowing that side. We don't question, no? We question here. It's a silly question. Don't even question. Don't even bother to ask. We just understand. Similarly, the whole, any behavior of any person should become so, should be understood from that standpoint. Only then you have so much clarity and you are unaffected. It's all question of not allowing oneself to be affected by situations. It's not that I try to bring about the change on the part of other person. Other person cannot change himself or herself. Why? Because other person can change one's behavior. The person can do it by himself or herself. It is total helplessness. And similarly, it is very natural for you to get affected also. But once you have clarity, if you remain where you are, where you have to be, if you remain means what? If you remain where you are, where you have to be, then any external behavior need not affect you at all. You don't need to allow yourself to be affected by that. Such a simple thing. That is what enhancing of clarity is one thing which is needed. You are simply understanding the very simple things. Swabhavikaha means natural. Any natural happening, we do not have any say over anything natural. That is why aparihārya. If we grieve over the aparihārya, it only implies my immaturity, my lack of understanding of the svabhāva. Now I'm teaching, Krishna is telling, come on, it is parihār, you try your best to change it. He doesn't say that. He understands svabhāva, aparihāryaha. Okay? Arte sochitum nārhasi. Don't need to, other if you grieve also, you will be grieving and grieving and grieving and grieving. This will never come to an end. You have to stop grieving. Start thinking. Start understanding. Understand very clearly. Then stop grieving. That's the only solution. Tasmāt aparihārye arte natvam shochitum arhasi. I really like this sentence, no? Janmavataha nāshaha nāshavataha janma iticha swabhavikaha. Swabhavikaha chet aparihāryaha saha. Why it is aparihārya? Have you understood? Swabhavikaha. That is the nature of the dead one thing and the born thing. Then karya karana, sanghata, atmakani, karya karana sanghata atmakani, api bhutani, uddishya, शोकः न युक्तः कर्तुम् यतः He says, all the beings, listen here, Bhutani, all the beings, all the, including all the human beings, all these Bhutani, Kani, what are these Bhutani, what are these beings? Karya Karana Sanghata Atmakani. Karya Karana Sanghata Atmakani. Karya Karana Sanghatam is what? This body, mind, and complex is a Karya Karana Sanghatam. Understand? Karya karna sanghataha means what? Body, mind, and complex. Sanghataha means all put together. Karya karna sanghataha. All these things put together are all, therefore, come within the realm of cause-effect system. It's all what? Effects. Effects of what? The matter. Understand? All this body, mind, and complex put together is a karya karna sanghatam. Is what? Nothing but material product. As an karyam, here is the body. You can say karana means all the sense organs, the mind, etc. are the karanam. Subtle. Understand? See, please listen carefully. Karana means the instruments of action, instruments of knowledge, mind, sense organs, and the organs of actions are what? Karanam. Kara means what? The body here. So, karya karana sanghataha means what? Complex. Karya karana sanghataha means body, mind, and it's complex. Nothing but the material product. Effect. Understand? And then, no, I'm worried about the body. I'm not worried about me now. I'm not worried about the Atma. I'm worried about the Anatma. I grieve over the Anatma. How beautiful the body was born. So soft and tender, pink in color. And then every day oiled and then maintained well, looked after well, fed well, carefully, without sugar and without salt. No, very carefully we take care. Enough oil, nice butter, Irish, you know, the Cornish cream, all those things, my God, so well looked after. No, with all sorts of things, karya karana sanghat, I am worried, grieve over this, I don't want this to die. So well maintained, so well looked after, making the best use of NHS, no? Very well looked after, still I grieve over this karya karana sanghataha. Sanghataha means what? Now, okay, put together. Okay? And assemblage of body and, no? And the senses, instruments and the body. This body means complex and which is nothing but the material product. I grieve over this. Come on, you stop grieving over the Atma and you stop grieving over the, no? Even if you want to grieve over the Anatma, death, okay, I don't mistake the Atma for the, I don't grieve over the Atma now. Atma is not born, Atma does not die. But I grieve over, you know, the birth of the Anatma and the death of the Anatma. I don't mistake the Atma's birth for Anatma's birth. I don't mistake, you know, Anatma's birth for Atma's birth. I don't mistake the Anatma's death for Atma's death. I don't grieve over Atma at all. I grieve over the Anatma. Karya karana sanghata. Even if you say that, Krishna says, next question, next shloka. Very carefully he is talking. What are you grieving for now? Do you grieve for Atma or do you grieve for Anatma? You can't afford to grieve for anything. Okay? That's what he says. Very beautiful, isn't it? He takes you from now, the next step. Karya karana sanghat atmakani api bhutani uddishya. Even towards them, even for their sake, you can't afford to grieve. Why you can't grieve? No? The following verse says, avyaktadini bhutani avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata vyaktamadhyani bharata avyaktanidhananyeva avyaktanidhananyeva tatraka paridevana tatraka paridevana. Look at this, look at the beauty of this. Slowly Krishna is introducing the karana shariram. He never talked one word about the karana shariram. He was talking about the body, physical body, gross body. He talking about the subtle body. And then he talked about the Atma Swarupam very clearly. Okay, and here slowly he introduces the karana shariram, causal body. How does he introduce? In which context does Krishna introduce? He says, come on, you know the nature of the Atma, you don't need to grieve. You don't need to grieve for things which are happening. Why? Because it is svabhavikaha, apariharya arthaha. Then you can't afford to be mature, understand the facts and be mature, don't need to grieve. No, I don't grieve for Atma anymore, I grieve for Anatma. Karyakarana Sanghataha. Okay, Karyakarana Sanghataha. No, Karyakarana Sanghat Atmakani Bhutani Uddishyapi. No, even to, again, to person, you don't need to grieve. Why? Because he says, Bhutani, why do you want to grieve? So here, avyaktadini bhutani, vyakta madhyani bharata, avyakta nidhananyeva, tatraka paridevana. Because all the beings are what? Nothing but karyakarna sanghatatmakani. All of them are, this body mind is complex put together. All the beings are nothing but this, cause and effects. Karyakarna sanghatani, there are many things put together. Are the beings. All of them are material products. And did they all exist before or not? They're all avyakta adini. Adau avyaktani. All the bhutani. All the beings which are here now. They all existed in the beginning. Adau avyaktani. But they existed, how? Even before they came into being, listen carefully, all the beings in subtle form, all the beings in gross form, all the karanani, all the karyani, understand, all of them existed before they came into being. Before means when? Although, in the very beginning, before even they came into being, before they manifested, how they were? But they were avyaktani. They were in unmanifest form. They all remained in unmanifest form. Avyakta adini. Adho avyaktani. Avyakta adini. Yani bhutani adho avyaktani asan. Tani avyakta adini. Okay. All the beings, all these karyakarana sangata atmakani bhutani remained unmanifest in the beginning before they came into manifestation. Don't think they were not there before. They always existed. Then what happened? They became manifest. Manifest means what? They became vyakta madhyani. Okay, vyakta madhyani. Madhye etani bhutani vyaktani bhavanti. In the middle they all become manifest. All these manifest objects, again what is going to happen to them? Avyakta nidhanani, nidhane, at the end again they become avyaktani. Nidhane avyaktani bhavanti, ado avyaktani asan, madhye vyaktani bhavanti. They were unmanifest before they came into being. And now they are manifest, therefore they are vyaktani. Again all the vyaktani bhutani punaha avyaktani bhavishyanti. Understand? Again, they'll become unmanifest. So, what is going to be unmanifest is going to become again unmanifest. What is manifest is going to become unmanifest. what will be unmanifest again will become manifest. So unmanifest becomes manifest, manifest becomes unmanifest. This is continuous. Okay, they do not die, they do not get destroyed, they don't get perished. Okay, this change, this cycle of becoming, this undergoing this change of becoming manifest, unmanifest, is the very nature of the matter, the nature of the causal matter, the nature of the very material, the causal matter, the matter, okay, which is the very source, the cause of all these things, no? The cause of all these things, the karyakarana sanghatani, all the beings in the form of karyam, all the beings in the form of karyakarana sanghatani, all of them, no, they're manifestations. Manifest, madhya vyaktani, in the middle they seem to be manifest. But before they came into being, adav, katam asan, adav they were avyaktani. Punaha kim katam bhavishyati. Punaha they'll become avyakta nidhanani. Nidhanam means what? Antaha, ante. Okay, at the end they become unmanifest. What is end? What is? Becoming unmanifest is said to be the end. Becoming manifest is said to be the beginning. Really speaking, manifestation, unmanifestation has no beginning and end. When things become manifest, manifestation of things, things coming into manifestation is said to be the beginning of the things. Okay, remaining manifest is said to be the existence of things, and things becoming unmanifest is what? Said to be the end of things. Really speaking, all this karya, karana, sanghata, atmakani, bhutani, adav avyaktani, madhya vyaktani, nidhane punaha avyaktani bhavanti. Again they will become unmanifest. It is a continuous thing. What happens? You fall asleep, you wake, again you wake up. We don't cry for falling asleep. You're happy, in fact, to fall asleep. And we wake up, fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep. That is how, understand, the whole jagat also what becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest. Becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest. It's a continuous, beginningless, endless process. But what happens in this before it becomes manifest, becomes unmanifest? For us, it's a big thing. Because the span of life, our body, you know, happens to be very short. We don't understand really. Therefore, that is how the matter is. That is how the very causal matter is. Matter in its unmanifest form, matter in its manifest form, it is what? It is indestructible. But what happens? It undergoes changes. That's all. It's not created. It is not destroyed. It took so long for the physicists to say this. Much before, now it has been said. Avyakta adini is a compound word actually. Okay? Adav avyaktani kani jani tani avyaktadini madhya yani vyaktani bhavanti te madhya vyaktani vyakta madhyani punaha nidhane avyaktani yani bhavanti tani navyakta nidhanani. This is how the matter is. A matter is uncreated, matter is undestroyed. Okay? Imperishable, in fact. It's not destroyed for good. It continues to exist, but undergoing changes. And it is natural for it to become unmanifest. And for it to become manifest also. And all the beings with all detectable, no differentiable forms and divisible parts, all of them together in undifferentiated, okay, undetectable, undifferentiated, indivisible, as a one thing, they all existed before in a causal form. In a causal form, non-manifest form. We don't need to break our heads to know how it was. But we can understand definitely it existed before in an unmanifest form. How it would have been in unmanifest form, we can never know, because we are part of the Jagat. Understand? So we can only have some example. A tree existed. Vrikshaha asit avyakta rupe kutra vrikshasya avyakta rupam kim. What is the na? Bijam. So vrikshaha bije avyaktaha asit. Adau vrikshasya adau vrikshas janmanaha purvam. Na vrikshaha adau bija rupe avyaktaha asit. Before it was born, it was an unmanifest form. Then the bijam became what? Bijam disappeared. What happened to bijam? The bijam has gone, but bijam continues to exist where? In the form of vrikshaha. Madhye vrikshaha vyaktaha bhavati. Bijat vyaktaha bhavati. Bijat. Bijarupam avyaktam. Then bijarupam has gone and vriksharupaha vyaktam bhavati madhye. Again, vrikshaha goes, many seeds it has produced already. And one tree, my God, there so many trees become unmanifest where? In all the seeds. Understand? It continues. Therefore, similarly, the whole Jagat, all the elements in subtle form, in gross form, the elementals, the mobile, immobile, all the beings, karya, karana, sangata, atmakani, sarvani bhutani api adav vyakta adav avyaktani madhye vyaktani punaha ante nidane avyaktani bhavanti. They are not destroyed and you cannot change it. You have no say over it. Where are you? What are you? Who are you? You are only part of the whole, these things they are happening here. Therefore tatra ka paridevana. What is there? What is the matter? What is that which really now bothers you? Yatraka paridevana. Understand? He says, you cannot grieve over the Atma, nor can you grieve over the death of the body, birth of the body, nor can you grieve over the Anatma. Grief is towards what? What are you grieving over? This is very beautiful. Here he slowly introduced what? Karana Shariram. In causal form also indestructible. Why? It is uncreated. It becomes manifest. Manifest form also is what? We know what is the nature of the subtle body, what is the nature of the gross body at the individual level. Therefore, so jiva vicharaha. Please listen carefully. Jiva vicharaha or vyashti vicharaha, very clearly, the nature of the reality with reference to an individual, nature of the body, the anatma, with reference to an individual is discussed very clearly in all the first 6 chapters of the Gita. The next 6 chapters, we'll see the nature of the reality with reference to the total universe. And nature of the matter with reference to the total universe in the Samashti Vichara, in the Ishwara Vichara, in the next 6 chapters. The last 6 chapters, Jiva Ishwara Swarupa Aikya Vicharaha. How materially Jiva and Ishwara are non-separate, how spiritually Jiva and Ishwara are one and the same. Really speaking, there are not two realities are not there. What is there is only reality. Other than reality, water is there is only mithya. So Jiva Ishwara Aikya Swarupa, no? Asi Shabdartha is what? Discussed in the last 3 chapters. Tam Shabdartha is discussed here. Tat Shabdartha will be discussed later. Okay? And by the time we finish the whole 18 chapters, it will be very clear about Tattva Masi Mahavakya Vichara. It's over. One sentence is discussed in 18 chapters. Okay, that the what, you are equal to Ishwara, one equation is discussed in 17 chapters. Okay. Therefore, avyaktadini iti. See, have you understood how Bhagavad Gita is introducing the Karna Shariram? He does not talk about the karana. He doesn't say use the word karana shariram. When he said all the bhutani, the causal bhutani, karana bhutani, okay? Karya bhutani, you know. Karana bhutani means what? All the beings in causal form also have no beginning. They were unmanifest before they came into being. They were not created. Because they are not created, they are also not destroyed. That's all. Very simple. Don't need to worry about the cause, don't need to worry about the effect. Don't worry about the bhutani. The matter as it, anatma, all about anatma here. Avyaktadini. So you have to remember here, the 28th verse, Krishna introduces and discusses about the nature of the causal matter in the form of all the beings being unmanifest even before they came into being. Okay, that you have to remember that context. Avyaktam adarshanam. Say, avyaktam means what? Unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? Imperceptible. Why imperceptible? They are not available for perception. Oh, just because something is not available for perception, I can very well, there is no, okay, it does not exist at all. Just because we don't see protons and, this thing, can we say they're not there? Molecules are not there because I don't see through physical eyes. Understand? They're invisible, much subtler. But here, imperceptible. Now, when thing becomes manifest, it is perceptible. Okay? We always believe, only if we perceive, we believe it exists. We do not perceive, we say it is not that. I do not say, I did not see the, I did not see the tree is now here. I never saw the seed before. Therefore, definitely, the tree was not there before it was born as a tree. We cannot say that. Even before the tree was born, the tree existed in the form of a seed. Why? Because out of nothing, something cannot come into being. For something to come into being, something must have existed. This is the simple thing. Therefore, all these beings also what? Avyakta adini. And here, so adarshanam anupalabdihi. Unavailability. Anupalabdihi means what? Unavailability. Okay? Unavailable for perception. Non-availability. Because unavailable for perception is what? Adarshanam. This is what? Avyaktam, unmanifest. Adihi. Yesham bhutanam. So which beings means what? Shankara explains here. Putra, Mitradi, son and friends. Okay, they only use as Putra, Mitra, Adi. You can say Putra, Patni, Mitra, Putri. Okay, all in the, suppose dogs and cats and all the cockroaches, etc., etc., what all the beings, the trees, etc., vegetables, etc., everything you have to include. Okay, all the, Putra, Mitra, Adi ni stand for whole Jagat. Putra, Mitra, Adi. Karyakarana Sanghata Atmakanam. Karyakarana Sanghata Atmakanam. Karana Sanghata Atmakanam. Okay. Adhi. See, Yesham. See, Avyaktadini means what he explains. Tani Avyaktani. Ye adihi yesham bhutanam adihi putra mitradi karyakarana sanghatatmakanam tani avyakta adini bhutani prak utpattehe. Prak utpattehe means what? Utpattehe prak, before utpattihi, before their production, before their creation, before their manifestation, before they came into being. Before all of them came into existence, okay, all the beings existed. I tell you, every human being, every individual is what? Every body means not physical body. The karya karana sanghataha. Karyakarana Sanghataha means body, mind, sense complex. It's called all the body mentions complex, all the beings in the form of what? All this different. The Putra Mitra, he says, in the form of children, relatives and friends, enemies, everything. All the Putra, all of them, all the beings. Are what? All of them, although in the beginning, avyaktani, they were unmanifest. They were not seen, but they existed. They were imperceptible, they were unmanifest, they existed. But in a potential, unmanifest, invisible condition. But don't think they were not there before. They existed in a potential form. Utpattehe prak avyaktani. They were, but they are avyaktani. Na asan, the Shastram does not say. All the bhutani, utpattehe prak, na asan, does not say, Shastram does not say. Utpattehe prak api te asan. Tani asan, even before they manifest existed, they came into being, they existed. But katam asan, how did they exist? Avyakta rupena. Understand? Avyaktani, they were unmanifest. Then utpannani cha prak maranat vyakta madhyani. So utpannani means what? Those beings, the karyakarana sanghata atmakani, all these beings in the form of body, consisting of body mentions complex. Okay, he says utpannani cha prak maranat. Now you having come into being, those who have come into being, prak maranat, maranat prak, before the death, okay, vyakta madhyani, before the death, they are in the middle, after they came into being, before they die, before the death, madhye vyaktani, they remain manifest, they are manifest. Avyakta nidhanani eva. So nidhana punaha. Read now. Avyaktam adarshanam. Okay. Again they become unmanifest. When nidhanam maranam. Nidhanam means maranam. The death, the end. Okay. Yesham tani avyakta nidhanani. So after death also, see, before birth all the beings existed in an unmanifest condition. After birth they become manifest. Before death, understand, they remain manifest, and after death again they become unmanifest. Before birth they were unmanifest. After birth, before death, they are manifest. After death, they become unmanifest. They always exist. What should we know? They never become absent. They never become non-existent. They always exist. But how do they exist? They exist in manifest form or they exist in unmanifest form. That is the thing. And the unmanifestation is mistaken for the non-existence. Understand? That is the problem. Maranatu urdhvam.
Maranatu urdhvam.
Avyakta. Tatam
eva
pratipadyante ityartah. See, maranat urdhvam, after maranam, after the death, okay, after death, what happens? Again, they go to the unmanifest state. They remain in unmanifest condition. The bodies, physical bodies, disintegrate. Subtle bodies remain unmanifest. You can't see them. That's all. Until they assume another body and come. And even if the deluge takes place, even if all the subtle bodies dissolve also, then what happens? Again it will continue to, it will exist in an unmanifest condition. Even if the subtle bodies dissolve the time of deluge, suppose deluge takes place. Okay, suppose the deluge takes place. And some people come and tell us in India, you know, in 2007, there's going to be a big dissolution and all the world will die, so better pray Christ. Okay, Christ only way. People tell this. And so we are not bothered. We know about dissolution. Deluge does take place. But we know how long does it take. It takes for deluge to take place. We can't change it. Dissolution of the jagat is natural. But when? Before the one dissolution of the one's dissolution, we would have taken thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of births and deaths. Nothing to worry about it. So what dissolution takes place? It is unchangeable. And not only you will die, I will die, all of us, not only I will die, all of us will together, that's why we are all happy. All of us together will disappear. You know, in total dissolution and deluge. At least even tsunami and earthquake and things, and then we will be sitting and something else is happening and we watch on TV and we worry. It is a sad thing. In total dissolution means all the sukshma will disappear, will destroy. Understand? All the sukshma will go and all the subtle will go, all the karma, understand? Everything will go. What will be there? Causal matter alone will be there. Even in total deluge, okay? In total dissolution, deluge, the karana shariram, the causal body will not die. We understand. Causal body will be there. The whole subtle and the gross universe will remain in an unmanifest form, in the causal form. Nothing to worry. Again, when the srishti takes place, all of them will become manifest. From the causal form, they'll all become manifest. Not even a tinge of matter will disappear from there. Whatever quantity of matter was there in subtlest form, the same amount of quantity of matter continues to exist in the manifest form. And it's only contraction, expansion. And all of them will remain in the subtlest, in a causal form. Again, they'll become manifest. So only when the total dissolution takes place, you don't need to worry about it. All the subtle bodies also will dissolve then. But even then, all the gross and subtle bodies, all the differences, all of them will remain in an unmanifest causal condition. Nothing will happen. Even then, even at the time of dissolution, causal matter, causal body continues to exist. Again, it becomes manifest. From the unmanifest condition, the thing beings coming into manifestation is said to be what? Srishtihi. With reference to the whole, we say srishti. With reference to a given body, we call it birth, janma. But the causal matter never dies, doesn't get destroyed at all, continues to exist. Beginningless and it is not created, therefore it's not destroyable also. But in jnanam, causal body also goes. You're not destroying it, resolving it. Okay? In jnanam, you don't destroy it, you only resolve it. Resolving it, well, suppose the wave happens to know its swarupam being water. And he says, what is this? Only water. Where is the wave? It's as though. This understanding is what? There is no such thing called really speaking wave. Wave is only mithya. Understand? This understanding is what? Resolving the wave form in its truth, the H2O is this is how the matter, the causal matter is only mithya. It is not outside of the reality. This understanding is what? Only in jnanam, causal body is resolved, not destroyed. Okay, we can say that's the resolution is called sort of destruction, destroying. then you are free. Otherwise, there is no such thing called destruction. Is it clear? Therefore, all the beings, and if we don't think of the dissolution, simply if we take, every time the physical body is born, the subtle body continues to live from the previous body. Subtle body existed before, it's not destroyed, it assumes a new gross body and is born. Understand? And what happened to the gross, happens to the gross body? It disintegrates and again it's with the other, its causal form. Really speaking, all the beings which are manifest before the birth, they were unmanifest. After the birth, they are manifest. After the death, again they become unmanifest. Maranat urdvam avyaktam bhavati, maranat janmanaha prak avyaktam asit, janma anantaram maranat purvam, understand, maranat prak vyaktam bhavati. That's all. This is the, so asman visheka parivedana. Now what is there for you to worry about it? So he says, maranat urvam avyaktatam eva aparti padyante ityartaha tathacha uktam adarshanat apatitaha punahacha adarshanangataha. See, from the invisible state, it becomes visible, and from being visible, it becomes invisible again. Really speaking, it does not become non-existent. Na asau tava na tasya. So na asau tava. Okay, this person, this is not yours. Na tasyatvam, you are not his. Okay, vritha ka paridevana. In fact, everything, atma is neither, see, anatma is not born of atma. Please understand. Anatma is not born of atma. Okay, what is anatma? Anatma is the matter. Matter in causal form, matter in unmanifest form, matter in manifest form. The manifest forms of the matter, material forms, are from the unmanifest causal matter. And the cause, okay, the matter is never created. So it has not come from anatma. Atma never created the anatma. Understand? Therefore, anatma does not belong to the atma also. And atma doesn't belong to anatma also. Belonging means benefit to the possessor, possessed, the connection must be there. Tum na tasya saha na tava. Listen, anatma doesn't belong to you, nor do you belong to anatma. Atma does not belong to anatma, anatma does not belong to atma. If you say wave has water, can you say that? Or can you say water has ocean? We cannot say that. Why? It is like saying jalasya samudraha, samudrasya jalam. Can you say that? We cannot say that. Why? Because samudrasya jalam we shouldn't say. Jalasya samudraha also we cannot say. Samudraha jalameva. Understand? Ocean does not have water. Water does not have ocean. Water is not the ocean, but the ocean is water. Ocean is water. Anatma is mithya anatma, is nothing but satya atma. But satya atma is not mithya anatma. They are not two things. Atma and anatma are only reality, but satyam and satyatvam and mithyatvam belong to orders of the only reality, same reality. Like when you say there is stillness of water, stillness and water are not two different things. Is it clear? Stillness and water are not two different things. Water is independent of stillness, but stillness has no independent existence. Remember this. Best example. So, we can't say water has stillness. Even though we can try to say, but really speaking, we cannot say water has stillness, nor can we say stillness has water. Stillness is water. Water is not stillness, but stillness is water. You go home and think. Similarly, the stillness becomes manifest. Stillness is what? Unmanifest potential state of the wave forms and the ripple forms. Okay, causal form of the ripples and waves is the stillness. And stillness undergoes a change. Don't ask how and why. And we see the manifestation of the waves and ripples, modified form of stillness. And there also the manifest forms, the ripples and waves, are what? They do not exist outside of water. There also ripples and waves are mithya, water is satyam. That is why it is said to be satyam. Understand? In unmanifest condition also, stillness is another order of the same reality. In ripples and waves also, waves another order of the same reality. So mithya is what? Another order of the same reality. But what is the intrinsic unchangeable? Without giving up its original sarupam, it continues to be there. In stillness, there was H2O. In disturbed ripples and waves also, there is H2O. H2O sarupam has not been given up. Similarly, they are not two different things. How can you say wave is one, water is one? They are not two different. Reality is one. What is there is only reality, but two orders of the same reality. Of the two orders, one is satyam, another one is mithya. Similarly, anatma is mithya, atma is satyam. The whole matter, business, okay, the subtlest form of matter, the causal matter, and the matter in its causal form, in the unmanifest form, or the manifest form, is what has no independent existence. It is nothing but Satya Atma. Whereas Satya Atma, the consciousness, awareness, is always the same. Understand? It became very clear. Don't worry. You shouldn't understand everything today. Then I have nothing to talk to you next week and in the following classes. Therefore, I'm sure it is clear. Therefore, they're not two different things at all. Is it clear? Therefore, he says, Na aso tava na tasyatvam vritha ka paridevana. Atma does not, you as an Atma doesn't belong, you don't belong to Anatma, Anatma doesn't belong to you. Understand, Anatma is non-separate from you. You are not Anatma, you are Atma. Okay? You are everything now. Everything is you. Aham idam sarvam. Sarvam kalvidam brahma, aham brahma asmi, aham idam sarvam. Okay? I the self, I am the consciousness is manifest as everything here. All the material forms. Base sarupam is what? Knowledge. Jnana sarupam. Therefore, tatra ka parivedana paridevana தத்ரகா பரிதேவனா கோவா பிரலாபஹ கஹவா பிரலாபஹ. பிரலாபஹ மீன்ஸ் லாமென்டேஷன். வாட் இஸ் மம்மரிங், வாட் இஸ் மம்பிளிங் அண்ட் யூனோ ரம்பிளிங் அண்ட் தென் திஸ் வாட் இஸ் திஸ் லாமென்டேஷன் ஒரியிங் கிரம்பிளிங் இஸ் அத்ருஷ்ட திருஷ்ட பிரனஷ்ட பிராந்தி பூதேஷு பூதேஷு இத்யர்த்தஹ. So, whatever is adrishtam, whatever is invisible, unseen, is what? Drishtam. And whatever is drishtam, whatever is seen, they become what? Pranashtam. Again, they become unmanifest. The visible, invisible, seen, unseen, no, manifest, unmanifest, the which seem to be there, which seem to be have been destroyed, bhranti, you know, all this is all what? Everything, nothing but only reality. Bhuteshu. Therefore, Bhuteshu ityartha. Bhuteshu means all the beings. In all the beings, there is confusion and delusion. What is delusion? Lack of discriminative understanding. Mohaha. In fact, mohaha means what? Delusion. And you have to define what is delusion. Lack of discriminative knowledge is the discriminative understanding is delusion. So what do you need for moha nivaranartham? Kaha apekshate? What is that kim apekshate? What is needed for the removal of delusion? Vivekaha. What is vivekaha? Vichyajnanam. Discriminative knowledge is needed for removal of delusion. What we do? We mistake the anatma for atma. We do not know what atma is. We do not know atma means what? We do not know the satyatvam of the atma. We do not know the mithyatvam of the anatma. That's the problem. We mistake the mithyatvam of anatma for the satyatvam, okay, for the nature of the hatyatma. And we think things are destroyed, oh, things are gone. Things are born, atma is born. And all the problems are centered on I, the Atma. These problems are not centered on I. You are not unaffected, just as we are not at all bothered, affected by the people who are in the hospital, who are suffering. There are so many people now suffering in different hospitals with lots of ailments and problems. We do feel sorry for them, and we also feel, oh my God, we really pray they should not suffer. Because when the very thought, somebody is suffering somewhere, immediately what happens here for us? We feel pain. Why? The very thought is painful. So we don't want to see them. Very thought of somebody suffering somewhere is very painful for us. And we don't want to have any more pain. We can't stand any pain anymore. So we don't want to think about it. And we don't want to see them also. But even if it is there, we feel sorry for them. We feel little pain is there. But immediately what we say? We don't get affected. Very objective. Why? There is no I. Okay? Only where there is the all the problems are centered on I, this is a problem. I is not involved in that. I am that body is not there. In fact, you are not any body. All the bodies are you. That is why people talk, you know, one has to see oneself in all the beings. I had to feel the pain in others, see suffering in others' bodies. That's all not true. Don't need to feel sorry for it. Understand? It's all like simply saying all these things. Really speaking, the Atma, we do not know what is Atma. And we do not know the Satyatvam of the Atma. Eternity of the Atma. Self-existence of the Atma. And what do? We mistake the Mithya Anatma and we do not know the Mithyatvam of the Anatma. Because we do not have the discriminative knowledge of what Atma is, what Anatma is. Then we do not know what is Satyatvam of the Atma, what is Mithyatvam of the Anatma also, we do not know. and we mistake the mithyatvam of the anatma for the nature of the atma. Satyatma. And then we, all our drishta, adrishta, this all the beings, this confusion is there. And all the problems are there. And all our worries and unwanted discussions and talkings and lamentations, all are based on the problem centered on I. Understand? So what his ashram says here is, hey Arjuna, whatever it is going to say later on, come on, this is what is Atma, this is what is Anatma, but you have to do what is to be done. Do your duty. Okay? That's good, isn't it? That's what we want. So Atma, Satyam, Anatma, Mithya, and Anatma, Mithya, Anatma is Satya, Atma, everything is all this, there's only reality, so let me go and sleep now. No. You have to be doing, because if you don't feel hungry, you don't need to do anything. As long as you feel hungry, thirsty, and you have to drink water, get up and go, wash the tumbler, take water, pay bill for the water, and then for that which you have to work, therefore you have to be dutiful. That is what is more important. Now, the Shastranam should make us more efficient and more contributive and more constructive in our endeavors. That is what the Shastra means, that really speaking. Because with the clarity you work, then you'll start loving what you do also. What you happen to do also. Therefore he says, all this, drishta, nashta, pranashta, bhuteshu, in all the beings, this confusion is there regarding the elements also, the bhutani also, the karyakara sangatani also. This understand, this is the nature of the anatma. Anatma is what? Karyakarana sanghataha. All the beings, karyakarana sanghata, all this body minus complex, which constitute the anatma of every individual, of all the beings, where there avyakta, adho avyaktani, madhya vyaktani, punaha avyaktani bhavanti. This you have no say over it. In fact, they are not different from Atma. Anatma is non-separate, non-different from Anatma. It's Atma. Atma is distinct and different from Anatma. But Anatma is not different from Atma. Water is different from the wave. The wave is not different from the Atma. Why? Because not distant from the Atma. Wave is water. Similarly, Atma is not Anatma. But anatma is nothing but atma. I think it's time, no, for us to stop.
10 to 5.